For those online, when you go offline, we stop the meeting. We've had, the computer had to update a few times, so we haven't been meeting or discussing board business without the recorder or Zoom being on. Mr. Steve Radford, you can start all over again.
Steve Radford, I am a Vietnam combat veteran, and I know what it is to fight for freedom. I think we've lost what that means in many, many, many ways. They've watered down our Constitution. We have an individual responsibility daily to be responsible for our freedom. That's each and every one of us citizens of the United States. The public voted for these dams back, what, 12 years ago? 80%. Why are we still talking about dams? It should be a done deal. But the state has taken over our county. That is not in the Constitution. The counties run the state. The cities run the counties. That's the way the Constitution was built. The people built the United States, put the United States together. The Constitution, and it was made through God. We have lost that ability to fight for our freedom through the people, through our elective officials. The state has taken you over with money. We cannot stand up to that any longer, or we can't accept that money any longer. We have to stand up for our own freedoms. The state will not take care of us. They're inundated with communism. I believe China really owns most of California. How much land does China own in Siskiyou County is a very big question. So you guys have a big, big responsibility ahead of yourselves today, because we are at war. We cannot take from California any longer. It is a communist state. You've got to get that in your heads. This is an agenda that has slowly been incrementally swallowing us up and taking our rights away, taking your rights away as supervisors for our county, elected officials for the voice of the people. But you have no voice anymore. We need leadership in our county, and that's you people. Please stand up and fight for the people. And I know the people have to start standing up. We're not doing that either ourselves. There's not enough of us in these rooms to bring back what's happening in our county. We have to take our county back. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. Rector. Last but not least, Ms. Holly Hanser. And I believe this is the last. If anybody has public comments online, if they could raise their hand, or we'll get to that. Ms. Holly, go ahead.
Thank you, and thanks for that last public time speaker. My late father, Jack Hanser, also a resident of Copco Lake, I've been negligent in fighting for my freedom and kind of retarded in doing it. I keep trying to come here and get something on the agenda, and I'm like, it doesn't work with my technology, and I don't have the right computer, the printer, the phone, you know, whatever. So here I am. Thank you. And I'm here to ask you, the County Board of Supervisors, thank you for hearing me, to please put on the agenda for next time so we can have a discussion on having Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, who's the key person in the paper audit, talk to you, or you can talk to him before, and he can train you and tell you and things that I cannot explain. The vulnerabilities in our voting system. We have, as I understand it, the same kind of voting system that they're using in Maricopa County and other counties that are finding real things that are questionable. It's not against our county clerk or our county election boards. It's about the paper ballots and things that our county clerk can't detect by doing a hand count and just with her physical eyes, I guess. So I would like our county to be here in California, as we are, to stand for the voter. Let America vote again in an honest way. Lava, you know, we're a hot lava county, right? Mount Shasta was formed by our lava. Let America vote again. And Jovan Hutton Pulitzer is the techno guy who I was just watching how he could detect, you know, all these things that I can't even begin to explain, even though I listen to him. And he's willing to speak with you in private, to train you in private, or in a public time or a public thing to explain. So I would, if you need to have it, you know, on the agenda where we can discuss having him come, or if you can have him, you know, have him come on Zoom and explain in public, and then you can decide to break off into a private session with him, your legal counsel. I mean, this is a case of national security. I personally believe that, you can believe it or not, that Trump won by a landslide. And you may or may not like Trump, and it's not about Trump. It's about, does your vote count? They're finding that the minority people were mostly discriminated in Maricopa County. Real life, there's people who are the same person with alive birth dates and dead birth date, date of birth, dead of things, same name, same everything. They voted like 15 times, and they have evidence of now they've done the ballot, paper ballot, but in different precincts. So I would venture to say, I'll conclude here, that our county is probably one of the more honest, not like, why, who wants to mess with Siskiyou County? Well, some people want our water, but what could happen down the road? So I think it's worth our effort, and I think more people will come forward. I'm just one person who's not perfect in so many ways, and so retarded between slow and other ways too, but I'm here. And so would you please, as a body, I've tried to communicate this and I haven't been perfect, to put this on the agenda for next time, and have, if you have the time for Jovan, he will make a time if there's a time to speak with him before or after the next thing, and he'll speak with you guys in private. I know you can't address me, or and explain it better, or we have a time on, you know, where I could do this more perfectly, but I don't even know if I could do it more perfectly. I rejoiced in the snow, and I ended up watching the Song of St. Bernadette last night, which I recommend to everybody, 1943. And it's the same old stuff, you know, the good versus the bad, and the politicians, and this and that, and people who don't want to deal with it, and this. And so I'm not St. Bernadette by a long shot. But anyway, so if you guys could please open the door to LAVA. I'm not an official organization, I'm just me, but let America vote again with integrity. And maybe that's happened in this county, so let's prove it. And so we want to save the paper ballots so that they don't get destroyed in September, and I've already gone over my 2 minutes. But so what can you do? Can you just put me on the agenda now? I mean, Michael, I've said it, right? Do you guys need anything more? Because you can't act on it, but this is what I was told, to come here so you guys could unanimously hear. Please put this matter of our voting systems and our voting vulnerabilities for our county. And yes, I'm going a lot on the Arizona thing, but it's coming out in hard proof that our voting systems are completely vulnerable. So what do I do? Walk away and say thank you? Thank you.
No, thank you. Thanks for your... consideration of the county clerk, too, for her honesty.
Yes. I'm not against her at all.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
No, thanks. You just gave us the information, so no.
So can it just be on the agenda, or do I talk to Wendy later, or what do I know? Because I don't know. We can't make a decision now. So I talk to Wendy later, I mean, what do we know? I'll talk to you later.
I was going to suggest the contact that you said. Is there a bio or something, more information, or is it in?
Absolutely, JovanHuntPulitzer.com.
Is there like a link to that? As I guess
the link computers. You guys have the computer technology. Yeah. You have that. But yes, his whole bio and everything is on his JovanHuntPulitzer.com. Anything, he has a radio show, Cut the Crap, culture, race, meta, American politics, whatever. So I don't like to say cut the crap, but there's a lot of bologna sausage. Not you guys, but I'm just saying out there in this world. And I'm full of it myself, you know, I really am. And I don't know how to get to the point that well. So, but this is something that's really, really critical, our voting thing. So look up Jovan Hutton Pulitzer. If you guys as a body or an individual reach out to him and tell him who you are, he will speak with you and you guys can work with him of what to do from there. But in the meantime, we can get on the agenda. Because that's what I'm trying to do.
I think the first step would be to reach out and get more information about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Reach out to him, tell him who you guys are or you are as an individual, and I'll flag him, and then he will definitely call you and contact you and be more clear and to the point that
we can get that information to the board and see where we go
from
there.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you, and more rain, right? Okay.
Thank you
for the rain. Valentine's Day. Thank you.
And then we'll have one more public comment. It'll be, do you have any public comments online?
We haven't previously, but now I'm showing none online.
Any raised hands or, I just want to pause here a little bit, make sure if there is anybody. I'm not seeing any.
Seeing none online.
And then just one more public comment. This will be from Supervisor Chris regarding the letter. The letter for KRC, I think one reason, I'm catching on to things now, but I think one reason there's a crowd here is because people have been told maybe it's a white flag or it's a surrender letter. It's nothing like that whatsoever. The letter is purely puts everybody's concerns on paper and expresses those concerns there, so it's not a surrender by any means. And if you have the letter, on the back page of the letter, on the worksheet, it has the enclosure with all the with 15 major points we're talking about. So, yeah, just don't, I think people are thinking we're surrendering, but the county's not surrendering at all. You may have had some folks bear false witness to you and tell you some stuff like that, but it's not surrender. And I'll stop there. Any comments online?
Sure, no online.
All right. With that, we're going to go to item 7A, which is public health update on COVID. Whoever that is, if Shelley Davis is online or Dr.
Brenda.
Clark?
Brenda Harris online.
Morning, Brenda Harris, Deputy Director of Public Health. Good morning, Chairman of the Board and Board members. Today's COVID update is as of 2:14 yesterday. We had new confirmed cases yesterday of 50, and that is accounting for over the weekend as well. We have active 236 cases, 6,805 cases have recovered. We've had 93 deaths, and 7,134 total confirmed cases. We have 9 hospitalized, and 2 of those are in the ICU. Our vaccination information as of last Friday. So we have 21,472 people who are fully vaccinated and 3,258 that are partially vaccinated. 55,353 doses of vaccine have been given in the county. We currently are still doing our everyday little satellite clinic on Main Street here in Wairika, 1275 Main Street, Monday through Friday from 10 to 2, and then we have extended hours on Thursday until 6 p.m. That's still being well attended. We saw, we did 72 tests there yesterday. We are in the process of adding a weekly clinic in Mount Shasta as well for COVID vaccinations and testing. That's gonna be at the Sister Masonic Temple on Alder Street. So we're in the process of getting that up and running. And then also just of note, the FDA has delayed the decision on authorizing the use of the Pfizer vaccine in the younger kids. They're still waiting for some more data to come in that 6-month to 4-year-old age group. That's all I have to report. Are there any questions?
Any questions from the board? All right, thank you for your presentation.
Have a great day.
General Services, item 7B.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Joy Hall, and I'm the Director of General Services. And I'm here to talk to you today about Senate Bill 1383. Governor Brown signed the Senate Bill in 2016, and it is to reduce the methane emissions. Methane emissions come from organic waste in the landfills. SB 1383's goals are to reduce those to reduce the organic waste by the disposal of landfills by 75%, and no less than 20% of edible food that can be recovered by human consumption by 2025. Currently, California generates approximately 20 to 23 million tons of organic waste and throws away 5.6 million tons of food every year. SB 1383 directed CalRecycle to adopt regulations and requirements to achieve the goals of SB 1383. CalRecycle finds that the SB 1383 is very important. They are urging jurisdictions to meet the state's deadline to avoid high penalties. These penalties can go up to $10,000 a day. SB 1383 compliance implementation deadline was on January 1st of 2022. CalRecycle has established numerous requirements that impact municipal jurisdictions, generators, and processors. They are to provide an organic waste collection to residents and businesses, to establish a food recovery program, education, purchase recycled paper, inspecting and enforcing, and record keeping. A lot of stuff. SB 1383 allows rural counties with less than 70,000 people to apply for a rural exemption. For the mandatory mandatory organics collection, and this will last until December 31st of 2026. However, the edible food recovery program is still required. The Siskiyou County Integrated Waste Management Regional Agency members headed by Siskiyou County qualifies for this exemption, and with the approval of the board today, will be applying for that exemption. As stated before, the regional agency and the county are not exempt from the edible food recovery. We have to do some outreach and some education. We have to establish a food recovery program, the organic waste capacity planning, which is we have to estimate the amount of the edible food that's disposed of, identify the food recovery, consult with the food recovery organizations, and create a plan to expand capacity if needed. So this is just a planning portion of it. Enforcement requirements along with the inspections, and we also have to purchase recycled paper. The edible food recovery efforts are required for Tier 1 as of January 1st, 2022, and Tier 2 for January 1st of 2024. Tier 1 is for wholesale food vendors, food service providers, food distributors, and grocery stores that are equal to or greater than 10,000 square feet. Currently in Siskiyou County, we have about 11 of those grocery stores that meet those requirements. The Tier 2 is for restaurants. There's other things in there, but for our county, it would be for restaurants that are greater than 5,000 square feet, and we possibly have one restaurant that would fall under that, but that doesn't happen until 2024. In order to comply with SB 13, the county must adopt an edible food recovery ordinance with an enforceable mechanism. So violations and penalties do not start until 2024. So we have these 2 years to educate the people before penalties start. Our ordinance and the city's ordinance includes commercial food for the commercial food generators, arrangement for the maximum amount of safe recovery of edible food, enter into a contract with the food recovery organization, keep records of the donations, and allow enforcement to see the records. The recovery organizations will be required to maintain their records for us, to report total pounds of food recovered, and provide the regional members with the required information that we need for our reporting. Our ordinance will include a code enforcement officer or designee that is authorized to inspect and accept written complaints. Violations of the provisions can be grounds for potentially being fined. An MOU between the regional members and the county will be necessary to outline our goals to establish the edible food recovery donation enforcement. Our county requirements are to annually notify any of these generators of the requirements and to annually inspect these places. The cities will need to sign the MOU, adopt an enforceable edible food recovery ordinance, provide general services with their info for our reports, and be responsible for their SB 1383 requirements. This mandate from the state is unfunded. However, we have applied for a $212,000 one-time grant through CalRecycle to help us with education, outreach, admin costs, materials for food recovery organization, and possibly some composting bins. Per the 1997 GPA agreement, the county is the lead agency and staff manages the integrated waste programs, including waste, recycling, and reporting mandates. On January 6th of 2022, the agency members adopted the ordinance to comply with SB 1383. Now the county needs to opt into the ordinance as well, which I'll be talking about next. The agency members also amended their agreement to allow the JPA to adopt the ordinance and apply for the rural exemption. Each member, including the county, needs to adopt their own ordinance. In summary, SB 1383 requires us to adopt an edible food recovery ordinance, an MOU, and start outreach by 2021. Large grocery stores to start donating and inspection to begin in 2022, and large restaurant donations to be inspected and enforced of all SB 1383 regulations by 2024. So today I respectfully ask that we adopt the resolution to file the exemption till 2026. We adopt the MOU between us, the county, and the cities. And we also adopt a resolution to apply for more grants through CalRecycle. And then I will have the first, hopefully the first reading of the ordinance next. And I have our consultant, Deborah Kaufman. She's on the line today if you have any questions about SB 1383.
Any questions for board members or comments?
I've got comments. Miss All, you did an excellent job summarizing and giving us what we're up against. But I've long stood against this SB 1383. It's an impossibility on counties, cities. It's an impossibility on the state itself.
I agree.
Because it does not have the capability of actually implementing this. For all of the good reasons that, you know, we've had CalRecycle up here and they've seen how well things are working, I even question whether we even have enough organic material, even with the edibles, to even deal with this, let alone that now there's lawsuits coming out from those that have received that surplus food or food that would normally go to the trash because of health reasons and contamination. So I'm in support of the exemption, but beyond that, I can't support it. It's undoable. We can't fund it. The state can't fund it. Your department can't fund it. You've got enough to do without policing businesses now to about how much edibles or organics that they have. This is just an impossibility.
My understanding is that of all the counties in California, 19, including one of them is including us, only produces 2% of organic waste.
Yeah, it's all in the larger populated counties, and that's where they should start, and then winnow their way out if we have it. But I think what we have is irrelevant to the overall factor. So nothing against you and your department. As the chair of the Environmental Services Joint Powers Authority for RCRC, I've spoken out against this from day one, and quite a few of the counties get it. I mean, some are trying to comply that have a little extra money, but this is just a whole new bureaucracy that, yes, the state empowers us to tax our citizens to recoup that. And I said, good luck with that. It isn't going to happen. They're going to come out screaming. So I said enough. This is just.
Thank you for that excellent presentation. Too bad the folks left.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Gosh.
Honestly, this issue goes to a special place in my mind. It's over there. It's over in the corner, right underneath cow flatulence. A couple questions I do have, though. Regarding everyone that left, what if we just say no?
We potentially can have a $10,000 a day fine if we do not opt into a edible food recovery ordinance.
But we're not generating it.
We have to be the mechanism for enforcement.
That ain't gonna happen either. Spend no money on this.
Yes, sir.
So what's the definition of edible food under this?
So currently right now, it is not hot food. So it's any other food, canned goods, I believe like fruits and vegetables, things like that, but it is not hot food. Hot food will not be until 2026, but Deborah, could you answer that a little bit better for me?
It is food that the large supermarkets would consider edible, that your food pantries and food banks would want to distribute for human consumption. They have the right to reject food that doesn't
meet the requirements or their standards, but it would be, it could include prepared food that is still edible for human consumption. And there are food safety rules that your food banks and food pantries follow.
As I say, doesn't that state law prevent the distribution of food with an expired food label?
Yes.
Well, this is going to work great. Setting the politics aside, looking at the science of methane, methane begins immediately upon the cellular breakdown, and yeast and everything else that gets in there starts to digest the material. That happens almost instantly when you put it in a container. What infrastructure is going to be required to have at the county landfill to contain the methane that might escape from the horrible edibles that we collect?
That's a good question. My understanding is that when we file this exemption, we will not have to compost until 2026. So after that, because we are still a rural county and being under 70,000, we will be able to, apply for another exemption. I don't believe that our county will ever have to do it. Composting.
Composting generates methane gas.
You have to have an air resources permit to do that. And we haven't had that, been able to do that for composting in the past.
Okay. I think I ought to write a letter to the state assembly with this and ask them if we're going to drain wetlands at this point because of the largest methane contributor there is in the atmosphere. I'll set that aside. Thank you. I'm in a great mood today.
So, my first little bit of heartburn in one compartment of my brain goes to the, just straight to the opt word, which seems to want to give us a choice, which apparently we don't have.
We do not.
Which just irks me right off. So, in being involved with the Integrated Waste Management Group, I've already had time to try to digest this, pardon the pun. My biggest concern comes, and frustration, thank you, comes, you can tell we're on the same side, comes with the food banks and who has to deal with all this. Because they don't have the capacity to deal with everything they're dealt. We have EFSP, the Emergency Food Storage Group, and then we have our food bank, and we have PSA 2, Public Service Area 2, who contract out for food services, who I've had some discussion with. They don't have the money or the resources or the capacity to be able to deal with all their food. All the food is going to be just like thrown at their doorstep. How are they going to get it? How is it going to be delivered? How are they going to store it? How are they going to distribute it? And who are they going to distribute it to? There aren't enough people here to take all that food in a timely manner. What then?
Then it'll be up to them to throw it away as well.
Yes. So how are they going to process it? What are they going to do with it? So those are, have more than one hand are all my questions. We're going to dump all that on those four people that are only maybe 10 strong. And they don't have the money.
And they also have to enter into a contract with the restaurants or the grocery stores to accept the food. And then the grocery store has to, you know, give them the food, of course.
Your department will have to monitor.
Correct. Yes. Correct.
So,
and it's unfunded.
And my point exactly. So they have to go out and try to find the funds and the people and the facility. We've already tried I know I have already tried to warn them that this is coming very quickly. And we've already talked about trying to find new places for them to buy, rent, build, because they're going to be saddled with all this.
Yes.
Basically, to feed the people that they already feed. It's not like we're going to bring people in. We don't want to bring people in to feed. So what do? Invite the community to come take the food that they don't... Are we going to give food away that we already... Really? Are we going to just say, y'all come on in and just take the food that you didn't buy on the shelves? What does that do to the grocery stores?
I totally understand your frustration.
Do we do our produce shopping from the...
dumpster.
Really? Okay, I'm done now.
Capacity and distribution are important in statewide issues and concerns everywhere. So the food recovery organizations and services don't need to accept materials that they can't store or distribute. One of the purposes for the grant money would be to give them more storage, freezer space, refrigerator space, so that more food could be safely stored if it can be used by the public.
Again, that doesn't necessarily work in this community. We only have not a huge amount of people that we serve. So I'm not sure. Yeah, we're going to need more capacity to take this food, but I'm not so sure that we can use as much as would be given to our facilities. I deal with some of these organizations now, and they're still trying to give away Christmas hams. I just don't know. It's a frustrating situation to these groups already, and it hasn't even happened yet. So, I don't know. I don't know. It's a great theory.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think we've identified that we even have a problem. And from that perspective, I can't support any of this.
Right.
I think once we've identified, if that's possible on state money, that we have a problem, then I can see doing this. But I will, at ESJPA, we had a garbage collection firm that's been in business since the early 1900s. And the old way of doing this was, there were pigs at the landfills. And I would support having a pig herd. We don't have to eat them. They can just eat the edibles, just pin them up to where it gets dumped into and let the herd grow as it may. But beyond that, that's as far as I can get connected to this, because it's not a problem for Siskiyou County. I think that most of this is already being distributed the way it should be. And I would challenge Cal Recycle to come again. I know that Rochelle was impressed by Self-Haul. I think that's also going on currently. I think Self-Haul is dealing with, we don't have a problem. So I'm not, and this is nothing against your department.
Well,
you
understand
that. I just don't think we need to embrace this bureaucracy, because we can't fulfill its requirements.
We can't.
And there's not enough volume out there to even pay for this, one way or the other. So I just can't support it.
So I just want to make sure, do we not want to file the exemption for the rule exemption?
If we do that, what does that do?
So the rule exemption will exempt us from doing organic compost or organic waste disposal until 2026.
Right. But what about the edible part?
That's so the edible food recovery is the next item that
okay,
I'm going to talk about. That's
I'll
the ordinance that yeah that
okay.
I was going to talk about that will be the
so,
opt-in, but it is a $10,000 a day fine.
Okay. So the one though for the exemption, we need to do that just to buy time, and hopefully the legislature will change something. I know that Senator Dattley is aware of this, and he's working on that, but it could take a few years to get there. So.
And then the MOU is between the counties and the cities to establish the edible food recovery program.
Is that on the next item or on this one?
That's on this one as well, but it is so the agency members have already adopted the opt-in ordinance for edible food recovery, and then the cities have brought it to their council to opt-in. And this MOU is to help, is because the county is the lead agency, so it gives us permission to enforce that ordinance and the things that go along with it. So, and the reason I put the MOU on here is because I wanted the ordinance to be by itself, so if we did do it and had a second reading, this wasn't in with it. And then, of course, also to adopt a resolution so we can attempt to get some more grant funding, if any is available. I don't know that.
In regards to the MOU with other cities, have they already voted on the MOU?
It has been brought to their cities. I don't know if I'm going to have a meeting with them on Thursday
right.
to find out if they have all succeeded in that.
They've all voted for it?
Yes.
Right. Back up to that.
Go ahead.
Are they required to monitor as well, or just opt in and then we monitor?
They are required also. They have their own, they have to follow the SB 1383 regulations inside their cities as well. The county is the overseer, and then outlying areas, the unincorporated areas of Siskiyou County.
Okay. In regards to... Go ahead. Go ahead, Mr. Kaufman.
I just wanted to point out that the requirements only affect a handful of businesses, you know, total in the county. So the effort will not be a high level of effort. And there are some food recovery organizations and services who have said they could use additional storage and capacity. So I just wanted to point those two things out. Thank you.
Go ahead, Supervisor Hall.
When does this have to be done?
We have to opt into the ordinance by March 31st.